Genesis chapter 22. The title for tonight's message is Abraham, a Man of Worship. And again, we're looking at the life of Abraham, six different things or topics or lessons, things that I think we can kind of learn from him that should motivate us or just kind of point us, you know, in the right direction. We've all been singing that Father Abraham song, you know, forever, and so I think he's a good guy to kind of lead us and in these different things. This is one of them. I would definitely say that Abraham wasn't, you know, not just for tonight is he an example of worship, but I think he was a great example of worship all throughout his life, and all throughout, as we read it about his life, we see all these opportunities where he stopped and he worshiped. And so let's read verse 1 through 5, and we'll pray one more time, and we'll jump right in. Genesis 22, verse 1 through 5, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham," it says in verse 3, "he rose early in the morning, he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose and he went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, Lord, as we open our Bibles. God, we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, that we would be in this heart of worship, in this mindset of giving you our all, our attention, Lord, our affection, may it be yours this evening. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the phrase right there in verse 5, where he says, "And I will go yonder and worship." So in the Bible, this is the very first time the word worship is mentioned. This is the word right here, worship. It's the first mention of it in the Bible. There is kind of a rule of first mentions in ancient antiquities and in books and things. The first time the word is used, it kind of sets the pace or the precedent on how you are to interpret that word moving forward. And that's important for us because obviously we are reading not only a book of truth, but a book of antiquity. You know, you can't just choose how you want to interpret the Bible. A lot of people say, well, that's your interpretation. No. There is one interpretation, and that's how all things are to be interpreted, and there's all kinds of rules and things that we follow there. We're not going to go into that tonight, but it's super important. This is the first time the word worship is used. What does worship mean? I'll define it for you. Worship in the Hebrew is the word shekah. Shekah, if you're taking notes. In our English way of writing it, it would be S-H-A-C-H-A-H. Shekah. Now, shekah means this: to prostrate in homage to royalty or God, to bow down, to crouch, to fall flat, to humbly beseech. Worship. To bow down, to fall flat, to humbly beseech. The word worship in the Greek is the word proskuneo. Proskuneo would be for us P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. This is like a transliteration of the word, just so we can understand how to write it. The word proskuneo means this: to kiss the hand or the ground, prostrate oneself, that you would fall on the ground, that you would kiss the ground. So in both of these languages, in the Greek and in the Hebrew, when we're looking at this word worship, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about falling down and kissing the feet of God. Now, the amazing thing about that position, it is really, really hard to feel like you're the boss when you're on the ground laying down. I don't know if you have toddlers around. It's like dangerous to do this at home. But I was going to say, if you lay down on the ground, even a toddler looks big, right? But it's dangerous. They're going to stomp on you and jump on you probably. So do it really quick. But even a little three-year-old is bigger than you. And if you have a three-year-old at home, or you have one close to you that you can go visit for this experiment, man, I challenge you. You do it, you get on the ground, the first thing you're thinking is, and you might even say it, don't jump on me. Don't hurt me. Don't drop that on me. The very first thing, all of a sudden, we feel very, very vulnerable on the ground laying down. Worship, it does that for us. It allows us to go on the ground, therefore exalting everything and everything else. Now, in reference to when we show up and we worship God, think of how that plays out. Every opportunity that we have to worship puts you where you need to be, on the ground. And it puts God where he needs to be, where? High and lifted up. Highly exalted. Man, worship, in my mind, it is probably one of the greatest tools that we have as Christians living in a modern world to constantly humble us and put us in our place in a good way. You know, oftentimes we get put in our place in a bad way. We do something. We're speeding and the cops pull us over, and all of a sudden we're put in our place. And what happens to us? We're humbled. It's like, yes, officer. And always a trick question. Do you know why I pulled you over? I don't know. There's like five different things wrong with my car. But, you know, why? But all of a sudden, man, we're put in our place. We're humbled right away. Let's look at this here, and let's break this down a little bit. Abraham. God comes to him, and he says, Abraham. Abraham says, I'm right here. Yes, Lord. Here I am. And God says to Abraham, take your son, Isaac. Now, he says, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Now, you guys know that he has Ishmael also. That's already happened. But here specifically, God is referring to the son of promise. The son that God promised he would have. This is the supernatural baby that we're talking about. The one that wasn't expected. The one that came, not by man's attempt to make things happen, not because, well, God promised us a whole bunch of kids. God's obviously, you know, taking a nap or something. He's not available. Let's help him out. Not when we think we have our own way of solving things, but the one of faith, this child that came by faith, by promise, Isaac. And I love, it kind of defines it. God says, you know, the one you love. This is important because in a minute, Abraham's going to be taking his son up to offer him as a sacrifice. And please note, he loves his son. We're not dealing with a dad and son that have conflict. And God says, come offer your son. He's like, great. I'm trying to get rid of this kid forever. That's not the attitude. He absolutely loves his son. And God tells Abraham, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains. I love this again. The mountain I'm going to show you. I'll tell you. Again, God called them. Remember this way back in the beginning? God called them and said, hey, go to a land that I'm promising you that I'm going to show you. Okay, Lord, where am I going? He just says, go, and I'll tell you when you get there. Just totally in faith. And now here again, God says, go to the land of Moriah, to a mountain there. I'm going to tell you which one it is when you get there. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled the donkey. I want you guys to note the things that he's doing, okay? Whether with your fingers or whether you're taking notes. So check this out. So Abraham rose early. That's a big deal to me. I hate waking up. So you want to note that. That's that because this is important. Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled the donkey. He took two of his young men with him and his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. He rose and he went to the place at which God had told him. All these things are happening. He's traveling now for 3 days. Because on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. I don't know if this trip was 3 days total. It's possible this trip was 4 days total. Like, on the three-day point, he sees the mountains. And they're far. So he has to go even further than 3 days travel to get to this mountain. Not only that, but also consider the fact that when he's all done, when this story is all over, where's he going to go? Back. However many days they traveled. Here's what I want you guys to understand about worship. Proskuneo, worship. Shaka, to bow down, to kiss the feet, to kiss the ground, to be on the ground, prostrate, humbled. But worship, I believe, by Abraham's example here, and I think by a lot of us, we understand this, worship also involves sacrifice. It does. For Abraham, it involved the sacrifice of all these things. Son whom he loved, waking up early, traveling a great distance, chopping wood. How many of you ever chopped wood for fire? Raise your hand, I'm just curious. Yeah, okay, cool. Very cool. When I was in Texas this last winter for work, my wife my wife was chopping wood. She calls me, we're talking, and she says, yeah, it's really cold, but, you know, we didn't want to run the heating and all that, so she's like, we have all this wood, so I started chopping the wood, and she says, you know what? We see people, like, we're big fans of Little House on the Prairie. We like these older shows with good morals, stories at least, you know. And so she's like, you know what? They always make it look so easy. When you're chopping wood, it's this romantic, easy, like, yay, winter is here. She said, no, it's not like that. Hurry up and get home, chop my wood. But, anyway, you know, this is work. This wasn't easy. Now, Abraham's an old guy. I'm allowed to say that because he's beyond 100 years old. He's old. Please note also, Isaac, we see the stories, and the kids are doing a story about Abraham and Isaac right now in the kids' ministry. And we see the stories and we see the pictures, and what do we see always in these kids' Bibles? It's Abraham, right? And Abraham's looking pretty good for 120 and change. And then we see Isaac, and Isaac is what? A baby, right? We see Isaac as this little guy. Here, we're not only the word lad, the lad and I, the lad is referring to someone that's over 13, but also we understand by the math that he's Isaac is in his 20s to 30s. He's a man. We're going to pause here for a minute that we're not going to talk about Isaac necessarily, but I am always blown away by this. He's a grown man going up to this mountain with his old dad. And his dad says, we're going to go worship. Isaac says, okay, I see the wood, but where's the lamb for the offering? And Abraham's like, well, God's going to provide for himself an offering. So Isaac says, okay, let's keep going. They get up there. They build the altar. And then, you know, 100 and chains, like 130, let's say 125, just to be generous. 100-something-year-old dad pulls out a knife and says, now, son, I'm going to tie you up. And I'm going to lay you on the altar. And the way that they would sacrifice an animal for worship is you would slice the throat and you would drain it out and then you would begin to burn. don't know. I'm not too sure about that. If my dad said, hey, let's go camping, I'd be pretty stoked. I'm like, yeah, I've never gone camping with my dad. This is awesome. We go up. Let's say we go up to Julian. And we're camping out. We're getting ready. We're like, hey, let's build an altar and let's burn some meat. I'm like, yeah, let's burn some meat. All of a sudden, my dad, he's not 120-something, but if he pulls out a knife and some rope and says, now, son, I'm going to tie you up and I'm going to burn you on this thing, we're going to fight. I'm going to fight for my life. And you know what? The chances are, like, I'm sure Isaac could have taken literally his old man. But here's the amazing thing. I mean, we're focusing on Abraham, but every time I get to this story, I can't help but just think of Isaac. What an awesome man he was to humble himself to the Father's will. You are always going to be your father's son. Always. I don't know what kind of relationship you guys have with your dads. I don't know if your dads are 120-something. I don't know if your dads are just 60s or 50s or 30s or whatever. Please understand that there is an amazing virtue and godliness to humbling yourself and doing what the Bible says, honoring your father and mother. We see it here and we're thinking like, no way, he was big. He was a man. He didn't have to have kung fu skills to take out a 120-something-year-old man. But although he could speak his mind and stand up for himself, and I'm going to tell my dad what's up. I picture Isaac just saying, okay, dad, just tie me up. You know, hey, dad, hold on. That knot's still kind of loose. I'm going to get out. When it's time and I see that knife, I'm gonna move and I'm going to get out of here. Tie it tighter if you want me to stay. Just this amazing heart in the son to submit himself. And you guys know, as you've read your Bibles and you've read the story of Jesus offering himself, he said, hey, no one takes my life, I lay it down freely. That many Bible teachers have always used this lesson as a picture story to point us to what the Son would do later on for us. But I've always looked at this, I have a strange relationship with my dad, and I always look at this and think, man, would I be willing to put myself, I don't trust my dad, I'll tell you that right now. It's a strange relationship, it's sad. But would I be willing to yield myself to that degree? Man, I don't know. But we see Isaac here, he does that. He doesn't hold Abraham over and come running down. He simply yields himself. So whether it's your own father or your mother that you have alive, it might even be any authority in your life. Maybe at work. There's a lot to be said about being humble and being yielded to the authorities. Like Romans 13 tells us that God has placed over our lives. God will honor you, guaranteed, as you have that heart and that perspective. But worship, it is all these things. It involves sacrifice. Abraham was ready and willing to sacrifice. It involves humility. Bottom line, worship is this: saying no to self. That's what worship is. Worship, man, it helps us say no to self. Now, as a church, every time we get together, you know, Wednesday night service, men's fellowship, or women's, or whether it's a Sunday morning or here this Sunday evening, we have worship as a part of what we're doing. And Pastor Dale was talking about this morning, worship, you know, it puts our heart in the right place to be ready to hear the word. It's not the warm-up, it's not the elevator music to give everybody time to slide in. It is a part of the service. And it's a critical part because it puts us where we need to be, on the ground. You're nothing before God. And sometimes, regardless of what's going on out there, sometimes we start to think that we deserve more. we are right. And all of a sudden we walk into worship and we realize what? It's like popping that balloon. Like, it's like, I'm nothing. You're holy. You're amazing. You're pure. And as we sing these songs with lyrics that state these facts, what are these songs? A lot of these songs are praises to God. A lot of them are prayers from us to the Lord. Lord, clean my heart. Lord, cleanse my hands. God, purify my mind. These become prayers where we're asking God to do something in me. There's songs of declaration where we declare, God, I love you more than anything else. Hey, it's not the warm-up. It is a part of the service. It's an integral part. It's a very important part of the service. In Genesis chapter 17, I want to go through a couple of examples of where we see worship the way that we're talking about. Falling on the ground, bowing of the head, humbling of self. In Genesis 17, verse 3, it says, Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. This is what happened when the Lord appeared to him. He just fell down on the ground. Moses, the Lord descends upon him in a cloud. In Exodus 34, verse 8, it says, so Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. He made haste, meaning he moved. It was quick. The Lord's glory came, and as God's glory was coming, he was falling. He's like, first thing I have to do is put me where I belong, on the ground. And allow God to be, again, highly exalted above me. King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18, as he's surrounded by the enemy and he's preparing the people to go out to battle, this is what happened. 2 Chronicles 20, 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They all bowed. They all humbled themselves. They all put themselves in a low place. Guys, here's the thing. Worship on a daily basis, whether you're listening to worship songs on the way to work, or whether it's in the morning, or whether it's when you come to church. Man, I encourage you this week, allow for more humbling in your week this week. What I mean by that is allow for more worship in your week. If you have anything that plays music, turn it to a worship station this week and not your regular talk show. I was going to say something about talk shows, but I'm not. Worship. Talking about just humbling ourselves before God. How would you respond to everyday situations, man, if you're constantly just kind of like soaking yourself in worship? How would you respond? To someone cutting you off? To someone disrespecting you at work? How would you respond to a mistake that you made at work? To a mistake that you made maybe in a conversation with your loved one, getting upset and angry? How would you respond? Man, I'm telling you this, if you have a heart of worship and if you are just immersed in worship, guaranteed you are not going to respond like maybe you have in the past. You're not. When I was a kid, my cousins called me Hulk. It's not a good thing. But literally, I would Hulk out on everything. Like, that's my toy. And they're like, haha, it's not your toy anymore. I took it. And I'd be like, bah! And literally, they would like watch and like, ha, look, 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 look. And I'd get red, not green. And I was just, thinking, and in my mind, I'm like getting like yoked and huge and awesome. In reality, I'm still like, I'm going to get you. But I would just get furious. And they would literally just gather, ha ha, and then they would take off running. And then I wouldn't know who to chase. I would just stop and start crying and just so angry that I wanted my toy back. That's the normal me. I can tell you, man, God has done amazing things in my life. But I can say this, that sometimes, you know, the Hulk wants to come out. So I know this about myself, that I constantly need to be in this place. When my coworkers have to jump into the car with me and go somewhere, I tell them. I'm like, hey, come on in. Put the seatbelt on. Hey, get ready for my Jesus music. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, just chill, man. You're gonna. It's my car I'm driving. Jesus music is happening right now. And I have my own, you know, medleys of Jesus rap and Jesus reggae and Jesus rock. And you're like, how does that even go together? I don't know. Someone was super creative and musical, and they put reggae beats to worship music. I love it. So my coworkers are going to hear that with me as we're going somewhere. I'm not trying to hide it. It's an awesome thing. You have, you know, hey, do you have to drive for work? Do you have coworkers that jump in with you? Bust out your Jesus music. Let it be known. Let it be known. Here's another thing that I know. Not only should we let it be known like Abraham did, the lad and I are going to go up to the mountain and we're going to worship. He told them what was happening. He wasn't ashamed to say so. Something that I've noticed and I've seen and something I believe, if you don't worship, now, just listen to me here. If you don't worship, you won't like heaven. Possibly, you might not even make it to heaven if you're not a worshiper. I don't know where that sits with you. Doctrinally, I wouldn't say that's a doctrinal stance that I have. I will say this, that's been an observation of mine. Throughout the years, I've been a Christian since 1995, and I've seen a lot of Christians, and I've been blessed to be around many Christians. I've been around many churchgoers. It's not my place to judge. Oh, that person's a Christian. Oh, that person is definitely not a Christian. Trust me, I know myself, and I know better. As believers, we all walk different walks, and we all look different, you know, in our walks and in our pursuit of holiness and righteousness and our pursuit of being more like Jesus. But I will say this, the one common factor that I've seen throughout the years of people who walk away from the Lord, who turn their back on the Lord, is they refuse to worship. And I always, man, I'm like, I can't help but think, like, man, if you would just humble yourself and just lift your hands and worship. It's been said, Christians don't tell lies, they sing them in church. Oh, man, that's like, whoops. Because you guys are here. You guys are awesome. I love that you guys are here. But man, may I just say that? It's been said. I'm not saying that. But I've heard it said, and I'm always thinking, like, man, it's so true. We sing of songs, I lift my hands, and we're like, I lift my hands. It's like, dude, lift your hands. You just said, I lift my hands. Now, granted, your shoulder, you just had surgery or something. Like, we get it. God knows where your heart is. But then we sing, I shout for joy, and we're like, I shout for joy. Shout it out. Lift your hands. If you're going to sing, I lift my hands, you're like, well, I won't sing that song then. Pride. Worship does what? It humbles us. It puts us in the right perspective where we need to be. So again, observation. People who don't worship, I've seen walk away from the church. I've seen them walk away from the Lord. It breaks my heart because worship is such a simple thing, such a beautiful thing. Now, I have people that say, well, you know, the thing is, I don't sing very well. And I'll probably say you're right. Like, if you have that perspective, you're probably right. Like, you don't sing very well. But it's not about you. Here's a cool thing. You don't sing well, you get to experience more worship. Why? Because you're even more humbled. You're like, I'm going to sing loud, and I'm going to sing praises to my King, and the people in front of me, I'm so sorry, but you can hear me. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stop singing for you, because I'm singing for Him. Hey, look, you're welcome, man. If you don't sing well, sit behind me. That's cool. Don't stop because of other people. Hey, humble yourself just a little bit more, maybe. We shouldn't let things get between us and worship. Even good things. You guys remember the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10 and how they, you know, Martha was busy doing a good thing. She had company over. It was Jesus. So she was preparing everything for that, and Mary was at his feet worshiping, and Martha's like, Lord, you know, I'm doing this all by myself. What's going on? And Jesus says, you know what? The one thing that's needful, she's doing it right now, and that's just sit at my feet. Just get on the ground. Humble yourself. A lot of things get in our way. Why, and this isn't like once in a while, and we all, once in a while, we show up late to church. Now I get it. Like, that's life. But sometimes people just make it late all the time. And I have to ask, what was it that was more important than showing up on time and being a part of worship? What is it that's pulling you away from worship? What was it? Was it getting your clothes just right? Was it getting your makeup just right? Was it checking your stocks? Where are my stocks right now? Make sure everything's good. Was it checking a score for a game? Was it watching the last whatever minutes of your show? Like, oh no, it's okay, we still have time. And literally, like, well, church doesn't start yet. It already started. Oh, it's just the singing. It's worship. It's the part of the service where we get to humble ourselves and bring ourselves low and allow Him to be high and lifted up. Now, what happens when we're a part of that part of the service is that by the time the message is given, by the time Pastor Dale comes and he begins to open up the word, what happens, man? We are already in a humble place. And God is already in a supreme place, and we're able to receive everything. You're not all about yourself at that point. Oh, I heard this story. Oh, I heard that example. Is he really wearing that shirt? What's up with those shoes? And all of that, man, guarantee you just goes away when you're able to just come and truly worship. God is to be the focal point of our lives. Worship isn't something that we do at church. It should be a part of our lifestyle. We should be worshipers. And the cool thing today with technology and things, man, we can do that like all the time, anywhere we go. The challenge this week: put on some Jesus music. Put on some worship. Let it be a part of your week. Allow yourself to enter in to worship. Now, don't close your eyes and worship if you're driving. All right, but keep your eyes open, please. But let it be a part of what's going on with you this week. Well, back in Genesis chapter 22, We skip a little, and that's the part that we talked about. Abraham and Isaac going up, building, getting ready to offer up Isaac. And right as Abraham is preparing to do this, I believe at this point Isaac is already tied up and already on the altar. And Abraham is at the point where he's getting ready to begin the process, which is the bleeding out. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he, the Lord, said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. Why? Listen. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Words are not enough. Words are not enough in our relationships with the people that we love. Words aren't enough. "Well, I told you I love you, right?" "Yeah, but you haven't talked to me in 2 weeks. "Well, I told you. I even texted you with the little winky eye kissy emoji. Like, what else do you want?" More than just words. That's what we want. And the same with the Lord. Again, we sing about how we love God. We tell people, we have it on our cars, "I love Jesus" stickers and shirts and hats. Actions mean more, not just words. If we say that we love the Lord, if we say that we worship Him, then it should show. And Abraham showed it. He traveled, he chopped wood, he got up early, he went. He was prepared to offer up the thing that he loved most. And guess what happened? As he was there and preparing to do that, God said, "Hey, stop, because here's what I know, man. I know you love me more than you love your kid." What is the thing that you love most? Would you be willing and able to do without it for the Lord? Even a good thing. This was the child of promise. Now, the kind of a cool thing, behind the scenes fact, in Hebrews, it gives us insight into Abraham's heart. In Hebrews, it tells us that Abraham believed, man, that this was the child of promise. He believed, if I kill him, God's going to raise him back. Not so much. He knew. God has to keep his promise. Isaac hasn't had any kids yet. Grandkids are still coming. So if I go through with this, God's going to have to raise him from the dead, because I still need my grandkids. Pretty cool. I mean, this amazing faith that's been growing in Abraham, the same thing happens with us. And worship, again, is a way that we can humble ourselves, offer up a sacrifice of bowing down and kissing the feet of Jesus. No room for pride, no room for self and ego. Lots of people do things that they're not good at. Lots of people do things they shouldn't do for the sake of giving honor or reverence to something they love. I think of football games, and I see how, you know, we were watching the games, and then, you know, you see people that, you know, I see these guys, and I'm like, dude, you should never have your shirt off, ever. And not only out there, man, just totally, like, no big deal, but they've got, like, "I love my team" written all over, and they're shouting, and they're jumping, and they're making a spectacle of themselves, and what? They don't even care. To them, it seems very, very right. I've seen people at weddings, and I think, you shouldn't be dancing, because it looks awkward and painful. But what happens? They're doing that father-daughter dance, you know? Dad's like, "I don't care. This is my baby. I'm going to dance." And he knows his buddies and his, you know, your uncles and brothers and whoever's there, "Look at that, look at him. He just doesn't even care. Man, this is for my baby." I don't care what's going on. I don't care what people are thinking. I'm going to do this. What? To honor. To show my love. Like many people, well, I don't worship at church. I'm there and I'm worshiping in my heart. You need to show it. I sing the words under my breath. Or I hum that one. That's my favorite song to hum. Sing. Worship. Lift your hands. In Psalm chapter, Psalm 141, verse 2, it says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening service. Psalm 134, verse 1 and 2, it says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. In Psalm 47, verse 1, it talks about shouting with the voice of triumph. In Psalm 47, verse 1, it talks about clapping your hands. In Psalm 95, verse 1, it talks about shouting with joy. So many different ways that we worship. So many opportunities for us. Now, granted, during a Bible study, shouting isn't appropriate, you know. We're reading a verse and someone's like, yeah! I mean, it's awkward. Don't do that. But I would say, you know what? Right after a worship song is done, and you just have that boiling inside, you're like, woo, Jesus, yeah. That's the right, man. We're right in that zone. That's the right time. Clapping, again, the right time. You know, start clapping halfway through a Bible study. Woo! You know, the pastor is like, oh, man, should I be done now? Like, sorry? All of these ways. It's not just singing, I guess is my point. I don't think I made that point earlier. It's not just singing. Okay? Some people don't have voices to sing. Some people don't have the proper hearing to sing. But worship. I love in other parts of the world, they have tambourines. They have flags. People are swinging flags during the worship and banners and different things. And I love the opportunities I've had to travel to see that. I love it. It's super distracting to me because it's not normal to me. But I love it because to them, man, it's like, oh, they've like got these kids running around with flags during a worship song and they're just like waving them to the Lord. And I can't help but think of like when King David would come back from victory, you know, and everybody's like waving things and everybody's dancing and they're celebrating. It's beautiful. Now for us, you know, in Southern California, it's not the norm to do all those things. But man, you can clap, you can shout, you can stand. TJ was pointing out, you know, these two verses in Psalm 141 and Psalm 135 speak specifically of being a part of the night service in the house of the Lord, or being a part of the evening service. And here you are, obeying Scripture. Isn't that cool? You're a part of it. God says to do it in the evening, and you're here in the evening. Well, we're going to have an opportunity to worship a little bit more. Normally on the Sunday evenings, we have a response time. In the past few weeks, it's been very committed to prayer and praying for each other, praying for the church, praying in different ways and just, you know, honoring the Lord. This evening, I want to focus a little bit more on worship. And that being said, it's not going to be like some like solo concert time. What I mean by worship is all of these things right here. You want to lift your hands? You want to bow? We're going to turn the lights a little dimmer than normal. Look, it's you and Jesus. You want to bow while we're singing? You want to lift your hands? You want to stand? You want to kneel? Man, you want to go over to the side on your own and you want to lay on the ground, prostrate, shaka. Just on the ground, face to the ground. We vacuum it regularly, so you're good, all right? But what is it that God's putting on your heart? Maybe as we've been looking at this study, the whole time you've been thinking, man, you know what? All these years I've been a Christian, I've never raised my hands. That's possible. Maybe you're thinking, man, you know what? All these years I've been a believer, I've never bowed in worship. I've never done this shaka, this falling on the ground, my face to the ground. I've never done that. I've never clapped for joy. So I want to allow us to have that opportunity tonight for a little bit. Also, with opportunity for us to pray. And not prayers for me per se, but I want to say more proclamation. I would love for us to have, as a part of our worship time right now, you be able to do shout outs to the Lord. God, thank you for your holiness. Lord, thank you for the work in my life. God, thank you for salvation. So just these little moments where you can just shout it out. Just shout it out. You don't have to raise your hand and ask permission. It's okay. If you're saying something and someone else is saying something, you know what? One of you is going to yield. And then right after they're done, get in there and say whatever's on your heart. But I want to allow a time for us to just do that, be able to worship the Lord in song, yes. Be able to worship Him in even, you know, again, positionally, I guess. Bow, kneel, stand. Raise your hands, wave your hands as an offering. As we were worshiping earlier, I was, my confession time, I was watching a couple people. And it was really like, it just made me smile. It just brought joy to my heart to see, you know, there was someone just like, man, just, yes, like more. I can't have enough of Jesus. And just waving their hands, and I was just like, man, that's where it's at. That's what we're talking about.